listening to The KJ Show with KJ Carson on WEEI.
Mindset, it's attacking the football. You know, a guy like that, you know, if his dad who's, you know, caught a lot of touchdowns in this league and made a lot of big plays, he wants to go get the football. And he tells me all the time, if the ball's in the air, it's going to be mine. So I think that's, it's comforting hearing that from those guys, and I think that's kind of starting to become something in the receiver room. That's the mindset. You know, when the ball's in the air, go get it. So I think it's comfortable hearing that, and it's comfortable a guy who's also gone out there and proved it.
Yeah, never too early for some Drake May and getting high off of what the potentials could be for the Patriots. I'll talk about that, the Terry McLaurin situation in D.C., also the Micah Parsons situation, and how much money the Patriots have available to them. It's the KJ Show on WEEI, 617-779-7937. You get the bonus version today, like 35% more bonus bag. I take you up to 10:30. And then Joe Wheel will take over with the Red Sox pregame leading into the lunchtime shebanga, getting ready for the Sox to go for the sweep against the Astros. Those words just came out of my lips. We'll get to the Patriots talk shortly. Let's go to Bob in Warwick. Bob, on the Sox, what are your thoughts?
Hey, buddy. Hey, KJ.
Yeah.
Alvarez is on the 60-day injured list for the Astros, one of their best players. Correa, he choked yesterday. They got him back from Minnesota. But I think it's about time that the Astros show their true colors and kick the Red Sox ass today.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Maybe I regret playing Rick James, Mary Jane to come into the break. Tom Carroll coming up at 9:20. We'll talk more with Patriots. But just a fascinating story developing in Washington with Terry McLaurin, who wants to be traded. Now, I need to say this first. Every year, every camp has some guy who's not happy and wants to be traded. And it seems like 85% of the time, the guy stays. It's a negotiation tactic. Terry McLaurin is doing a sit-in. I think it's a hold-in. That's what it's called. It's not a sit-in. Sit-in is a little more important and it's political. But he's doing a hold-in versus a hold-out, but he is saying he wants to be traded. I don't know necessarily if that's going to happen just because the success they had with Jaden Daniels last year, a lot of it lies on Terry McLaurin being in the mix of those things. And all that investment they made for these other pieces, I think it's just a ploy, but if he does get traded, let's go into this 15% realm. There is no better place for him to go than to come here to the New England Patriots. You've got the space. You've got the quarterback who's on the rookie deal. You've got a Stephon Diggs on one side. McLaurin hasn't been dependent on being the A1 guy. Where if you have Diggs and McLaurin, now watch this. I don't know if it necessarily suddenly increases the win total, right? But it now increases the focus on the passing game and may open things up for the run game. So you may go after a Terry McLaurin because you say, hey, now teams have to depend on or have to pay attention to defending the pass. They have to if you get McLaurin. If you don't have McLaurin, you could still say, all right, one Mississippi, everybody just run the line and see what happens, because I think ultimately that's still – where the issue lies is in the line, and I'll get into that with Tom Freeze Pops when he's on here in a few minutes. But yeah, why not? If it's a new day, the Kraft has shown that he will spend to go get Diggs. You know, obviously some of the injuries are a question or concern, but I would say, hey, I would go with what I've seen with Diggs overall than be concerned with what just recently happened, right? Because the injury really has just started to show up last year in Houston. He was there on a one-year deal, wasn't able to provide them with what he was able to provide, what he wanted to, but in his games that he was there, he was very efficient and provided more than, you know, prorated what the Patriots were getting at the wide receiver position. But the other reason why you get Terry McLaurin is you can also start to siphon off those that you've just been giving chances for. Like, thank you for being here. Fill in the blank, anybody after name Stephon Diggs. Like, after that, you know, like, okay, maybe one or two of you will stick around. The rest of you, good luck. Because what this team has had over the last few years is just kind of like, oh, man, don't you love his story? Isn't that a great story? You're like, have you seen the record? That's a bad story. That's a nightmare. It's about time that you have some type of superstar caliber talent out on the field on the offensive side of the ball. Coming up at 9:45, Pro Football Sports Network has released its top 100 players in the league. There are some shockers. That's coming in 35 minutes. But yeah, if you're happy that you have Diggs, but you would feel like the team is now committed to the future if you go get McLaurin. Someone is at his age and this, that, and everything. Would you rather have a Terry McLaurin who's produced, whose age is getting up there, or having a bunch of young guys who are just kind of like, you know, I wasn't even drafted. And you're like, I know. Look at the record's been. Enough of the scientific experiments. I don't want to put another macaroni artwork up on the refrigerator. I want a damn Rembrandt up there. I want a Basquiat. I want something of real value to hang up on. I don't want to put another one of my kids' macaroni noodle doodles as what's supposed to be presented as an offense with a quarterback that not only is the fan base, the team, the league is high on. I've said, out of May, Daniels, and Williams, Drake May is going to be number two. And if you go get Terry McLaurin, why could you not have the conversation and saying, perhaps Drake May have the better career of the three because what? You got him the weapons early. 617-779-7937. Get your calls in, also your text. We'll talk to Tommy Freeze Pops next about training camp and what he's been seeing. But right now, it's time to trend. My man, Jacob Last. KJ Show, WEEI. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday here. 617-779-7937. If we're ready for Tom Carroll, a.k.a. Tommy Freeze Pops, let's go ahead and bring him in if we've got him, just because, one, I know he's on a deadline, and two, we've got to get to the Patriots and the situation with Will Campbell. First, Tom, good Sunday to you. Good Sunday to you. Thanks so much for being here. Before we get to Will Campbell, what's your takeaway of week two of camp that you saw with the Patriots this week?
So it was interesting because Drake May had a really good week, right? He went almost the entire week without throwing any interceptions. And for those that put stock into training camp stats, that means something. And honestly, for a guy that turned the ball over so much last season, that should be something that we're monitoring. But then on Friday, when they had the scrimmage in front of the stadium full of season ticket holders and members of the community in Foxborough, he threw two picks. So it was like he had all this progress, and then when it came time to be in action that was the most game-like that we've seen this camp, he throws two interceptions. So, you know, heading into Friday, I was feeling really good about where Drake May was going, and then he has that minor step back, right? So it's like I'm still waiting to see it in a game. I still want to see it for a prolonged stretch of time, like a 3-4 week time period during regular season action where Drake May doesn't have issues with turnovers. Because again, from what we've seen so far, the most game-like action he's had, he threw two interceptions on Friday.
So they say that confidence can cover up self-esteem issues a little bit. And I'm not saying personal. We're just talking from the football perspective, right? Does it feel like because Drake May is confident in what he does, it may try to cover up some of the off-field stuff, like, you know, the noise of the fan base, the expectations, the quarterback of a, you know, the kind of the one who's going to fix the problem since Tom Brady's been here? Do you think that that might show up, like why you're seeing those interceptions in the stadium, but not on the practice field?
Hey, it's an interesting way to look at it. I think Drake May is just a guy that gets lost in the game in that he's just a football player, right? Like when he's out on the football field, he is worried about trying to win the football game. And, you know, that's a great mentality to have, but he's also the type of guy that's going to try and win at all costs, right? So he's going to make a couple dumb throws in a game to try and make a play for his team. And maybe the team is going to be better this year, and we're going to see less of those types of plays having to make those plays. But, you know, he even said it this week, McDaniels is helping him make smarter decisions and yada, yada, and limiting the turnovers as he went through that stretch of practices without any interceptions. But then he made sure to caveat that at the end of that answer saying, I am still a gunslinger. Like, I'm not gun shy, you know? Yeah. So he wants to make it clear that he's still going to go out there and try and make that big throw. And now it's just a matter of knowing when to make that big throw and knowing how much of a risk he's going to be able to take on a week by week basis. So it's, you know, the maturation process continues for May. And I think he's got a ton of confidence, but sometimes you can be overconfident, right? Like the old Brett Favre thing, right?
You,
like,
okay,
you think he's got the strongest arm and you're just going to rifle it in there.
You're scaring me because that's literally the name that was going to come out of my mouth is, so maybe we're dealing with a Brett Favre type of thinking guy, which isn't a bad thing. And let's just call it what it is. McDaniels can be a bit stiff with what he wants to get done. I think there's a part of maybe McDaniels also has to remind himself, this is the best talented, this is the most talented quarterback you've had on your roster since Tom Brady. And when Tom Brady, and when you got here, Tom Brady had already won two. So could this really be the most important teaching moment for Josh McDaniels in all of his career? Because you'd have to ask, what did you teach Tom Brady after he'd already won two? You were really there as support, right?
Right.
Like, I've taken hot hits for that, but I'm like, if a guy's already won two championships, you're pretty much teaching him how to, you know, like get from A to B. You're not teaching him the you know, you're just saying, here's the playbook. What do you want to do? So this is really the best quality quarterback that he has had his entire career. Remember when he was in Denver, he went out of his way to go get Tim Tebow. That did not work. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Garoppolo did not work in Vegas when he brought him over there. So there, I think, and I can understand where Drake May is coming from. Like, I'm still going to be a football player. I would want him to have a bit of Brett Favre in him. And this is what I said about him at first was, I'd rather him take smart risks than to be kind of a computer quarterback and I'm just going to do what I am told, because if I just do what I am told, I won't make any mistakes. My thing is, if you're out there thinking about the mistakes that you won't make any risk-taking, rewarding plays, right? Even if you look back at Mac Jones, the best things we talked about with him were the risks he took, and even if they didn't win games, it looked good. With Drake May, I don't want that taken out of him because there's a better skill set. And maybe I think this is really more not so much about the development of Drake May as much as it is, can Josh McDaniels really coach up a high-level quarterback from start? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, from it's start. Funny because, so when I, as you were talking, it got me thinking about quarterbacks that Josh McDaniels has had other than Tom Brady, right?
Right.
Because Brady was a robot, right? And Brady rarely made the bad throw. And when Brady was taking a risk, it was calculated. And we know he threw very little interceptions in his career. So when I'm thinking about Josh McDaniels as a head coach and an offensive coordinator, I mean, the closest quarterback to a guy like May that I can think of is Jay Cutler, right? And we know that it didn't work out with McDaniels and Cutler, and he wanted to get rid of him. So McDaniels has always had kind of like a guy of that Brady mold, a guy that's not necessarily wanting to take a ton of risks. Cam Newton was a different type of quarterback, right? But Cam wasn't really throwing the ball much that season that McDaniels had him. So it's going to be interesting, right? I don't know that McDaniels has had a guy like May before. And, you know, spent a year away from the game. Yeah, from the jump, or even after that, too.
Right, because Cutler was well into his career when he got to Denver. Right, Cutler was
well
into his career.
He was kind of a younger player, but, you know, McDaniels just it clearly wasn't going to work between those two, and he got rid of him. You know, he had Sam Bradford early in his career. Sam Bradford, definitely not like Drake May. I mean, so there's a bunch of guys that are just not similar to Drake May that he has coached. So I think McDaniels spending a year away from the game and studying with all these different offensive minds around the league, spending time with a guy like Sean McVay and, you know, just learning how to coach differently.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how a guy like McDaniels, now on his third stint as OC with New England, comes out and looks different. How is that offense going to, shape around Drake May while also having the trappings of what him and Brady did for, you know, X amount of years together? It's going to be one of the more interesting things to look at early in the season.
Got Tom Carroll here on the KJ Show. Check out his work at weei.com. One more minute, and I know I got to let you go here. Your thoughts on the potential of Terry McLaurin coming to the Patriots?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because right before we got on, I was scrolling through Twitter, and I don't know if this verb will make sense to you, this fake verb, but I got NBA sentled. Where I saw a fake Adam Schefter tweet about Terry McLaurin getting traded to the Dolphins.
From Adam Schefter.
And I get on our Slack channel. I get on our Slack channel and I'm messaging people. I'm like, hey, I'm about to do all this stuff today. Can someone jump on this? Yada, yada. And then I looked again and I was like, oh, crap, that's fake. I just got NBA sentled. First of all, be careful out there, folks. Secondly,
wear your hats.
I would love the move. I'd love getting Terry McLaurin. I think the guy, for my money, is the most underrated receiver in the NFL, and I think he has been for multiple seasons. I think it was awesome last year to see him get an all-pro selection, and having a guy like Jaden Daniels, a real quarterback for the first time in his career, was able to truly unlock McLaurin in a way that I think has been sitting there for years. He's a dog. So if you can add a guy like that to your roster, he's immediately your number one, and then Steph Diggs becomes your number two, and now you're as formidable as they come when it comes to receivers, because Steph Diggs, we know the talent's there and he's had a really impressive camp, but there is still that lingering, is he going to be able to be that guy again coming off of that knee injury? And so far it looks like he will be, but he's, you know, the other side of 30 and he's coming off this knee injury. So you just don't know. So if you can have a guy like McLaurin in there who you can afford, you have $60 million in cap space still, and he's a cap hit of, I believe, 24 or 25 mil. So you have plenty of breathing room to bring in a guy like McLaurin. I think he's worth the draft capital. You're getting a guy, I think he's 29 years old, so you got a few really good prime years left. I do that deal in a heartbeat if you can.
All right, Tom, get off the line, because I know you got to go catch the Alex Cora press conference here like in 30 seconds. So thank you so much for jumping on the KJ Show. We'll talk again. I'm sorry we didn't get to the Will Campbell portion. Yeah.
No worries. Yeah, we'll talk in a few weeks.
Yeah, sounds good. Tom Carroll, weei.com. Check out all of his great work there. And, of course, all of our writers there, Mego, Lions, all the stuff up there. It's a good middle-of-the-week reading when you're not listening to the KJ Show on Sunday. Yeah, it's interesting that we got into that kind of a little bit of a rabbit hole there. Like, is maybe that Drake May, if you're looking for a potential comp of who this guy may really be, it could be Brett Favre, and not the social media Brett Favre that most people are discussing right now. I'm talking about like the football player that people don't even take the time on YouTube to go watch. Gunslinger felt like he could win the game in the game without having excessive structure. I hope it doesn't become too much of a clash, but I could see that potentially being one of those deals where there are going to be situations Drake May's going to want. He sees something and makes a move, and it wasn't scripted or drawn up the way that McDaniels had. I'm not trying to call out for potential confrontations, but if you're one of those who believes that sometimes conflict can be good because it allows for growth, right? It allows for unhidden things for hidden things to become unhidden. If you feel a certain way about something, sometimes conflict will pull those things out. So I wouldn't want everything to be so kumbaya and affect the player, right? I don't want to see Drake May go out there and start looking a little bit robotic because this is the system he has to be in. If it goes against the game that he plays and is not an ultimate detriment to, because here's the other part of this. I don't care how much structure Josh McDaniels is trying to give to Drake May in terms of what he wants to do. If that line can't hold, if that line's holding up like the last two cards in a 52-card deck in a house. No. There's going to have to be some improvisation. And so my hope is, and then you've heard the conversations, that there have been some things in there, some design plays for Drake May. But you realize those, they're probably going to be more broken down plays that I don't How do you draw up a broken down play because of a missed blocking assignment or because of or someone missing? You know, really, this comes down to missed blocking assignment. After that, everything goes haywire. Or just the man getting beat tremendously off of a particular side, the left. Which kind of gets to the Will Campbell situation. And I'll say this with Will Campbell. We won't know how good or bad it is until there's somebody who's paid to go against him, goes against him. Right? So probably mark down August 8th. The other part of it is, how much in the preseason are you going to play Will Campbell at left tackle? How long does he stay in the game? I would like to see him stay through several series, but through a half. I think you've got, because he's so key to everything you want to do. You're saying, hey, rookie, you're designed to be the blind side. This is why we took you here. This is where we've had the biggest problems. Well, we had 5 left tackles last season. That's like having 5 different security guards to defend you on 7 different days. Oh, someone forgot to come in. Oh, I thought it was my day off. But like that you saw what the problem was. Jacoby Brissett probably still feels some of those 5 left tackles of last year. But how much do you play Will Campbell? What was it, 2 years ago, Jacob, when they weren't playing Mac Jones very much in the preseason? I was thinking, damn, he's that good already? I think the same kind of applies to Will Campbell. Where as you get into this preseason, look, we're that much of nerds when it comes to our teams here, you know.
Nerds!
I could care less what Stephon Diggs does. I don't care if he's in there for 4 plays. I know what he can do. Everything is going to be incumbent on what happens on the left side of that line. And teams are going to test it, right? Like, I think that's what you're going to see in preseason. Teams are just like, you know what? Bull rush every play. Now, that'd be beneficial for Drake May and Josh Dobbs. I would say get ready for a learning curve out there, buddy, because the ones he gets wrong, you're going to take. But you just can't say, hey, we're going to give him a rest here. This guy needs to see as many reps in preseason games as possible just because of the talk of what's happening now. You know, like, oh, he's getting beat by Keon White. And I'm thinking, like, I'm not thinking so much about him getting beat by Keon White. I'm thinking, yes. Keon White's going to be put on the outside. He's going to be able to do what he really does, you know, not just sticking him in the interior. Like, yes. So that's what I think is going to be to watch. How often do you put or allow Will Campbell to stay in the game? And it's got to be at least a full half for each game. Probably game 1 a half, probably game 2 a half, probably game 3 quarters, and probably the last game, maybe you give him a bit of a rest getting into the regular season. 617-779-7937, KJ Show. The bonus version is like when you buy the bag of chips, but it says 35% more. Like, literally, you're getting 35% more. So we could take you all the way up to Red Sox pregame with Joe Weil at 10:35. Let's go to Jay. Thanks, Jay, for calling here to the KJ Show talking Patriots. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I had a couple of questions there. I wonder if Mike Vrabel has given you any indication if he's been able to plug the hole. There were a lot of holes to be plugged in the old Patriots team. And I wonder also what you people feel. I know you haven't had the chance to observe yet with the pre-gazing, but it's coming up on August 8th. But I wonder, do you still feel that there are weak spots in the Patriots? And who are the weakest players on the team that may not be able to fill those plug those holes? And if you wouldn't mind, put me on hold because, as I say, I don't have streaming where I am.
Okay, Jay, thanks so much. I'll give away. He's in North Carolina where he is. So, and some of those could be some deep woods there. I'll work backwards. So I'm not going to name names because I can just, it'll just, whoever plays those positions, those names will you fill in. Left tackle, left guard. You would almost say right now Nwenu is the only one who's kind of been able to hold their weight on the line. Center, you're going to have to David Andrews gone. What does the center position look like? Not as bad, but in terms of, you know, recognizing. And again, and Jay's right, that kind of goes to question one. We'll see some of this in preseason. And remember, teams don't always show their hands, especially if you're going to play that team again in the regular season. But that, the offensive line obviously is issue one. Issue two is the receiving room after Diggs. And I don't think you'll see a ton of Diggs. You'll see enough of Diggs, but you won't see a ton of Diggs. And I don't want to see a ton of Diggs because the last thing you, the worst thing that can happen is that Diggs re-aggravate anything in the preseason and doesn't even make it to the regular season. So Diggs' real preseason is get to the regular season. So I don't need to see a lot from Diggs because we know what he could do. We've seen his tape. I do want to see what Mac Hollins could do potentially in a backup one or maybe a backup two. I'd like to see what Kyle Williams can do, getting some extended run. Then, of course, with Booty and with Douglas, Kendrick Bourne, Polk, Baker. You know, some of these guys are playing for other teams when they get out there. I think I just got to call it what it is. I think some of them need to go out there and showcase that the team would be willing to, another team would be willing to say, we want to go get that guy. They may have had an injury if someone go down, or we need another receiver, you know, to shore up with, because the receiving room, there's a lot of people in there, and there's only one defined great. Bourne, injury, age, starting to catch up with him. Like, he was that guy for me these other previous years. Like, that was the guy you felt like you could lean on. But you remember that, I think, that one year where he was kind of allegedly in the doghouse with Patricia and wasn't getting much run, and injuries have played a part. So Bourne was ideal when acquired. And has the skill sets. If you see his catch percentage, it's still one of the best in the league. Like, when you throw the ball at him, it's not hitting the ground. He's not missing it. It's just a matter of, A, there hasn't been competency at the offensive line and quarterback, and B, you've got a situation where now you have a better one receiver in there. Douglas has grown. Booty has shown flashes and is continuing to grow. And then I would put in a bonus. The running back room. Is Travion Henderson going to be RB1? That very well could be the situation, but I think the way that McDaniels would want to play it would be very similar when you had Harris and Stevenson together. Is one's going to be the heavy, one's going to be the light. One's going to be able to be the better pass catcher out of the backfield. The other one's going to be better at the goal line situation. But if Henderson shows that he can pound through the tackles and get into the goal line as well, he'd be like, But I think with two, you definitely could have something that moves forward in a positive way. Let's go to Paulie in Dedham. Paulie, thank you so much for calling the KJ Show talking Patriots. Good Sunday to you, man.
Hey, same to you. Good morning, sir. What I think the Patriots need to do right now, seeing the offense is finally starting to come around, it's much improved. They've added depth and everything, some key positions. The offensive line's better. The running backs are a better group now. They're blocking them somewhat effectively. They got a great coach in Marone, and they got a plethora of receivers. I'm not going to turn my attention and focus on McLaurin, but what needs to be done at this point is to strengthen and stiffen that defense. We were unable to get Sweat. When he became a free agent, he left Philadelphia and went to Arizona. He would have been pretty much completed that defense. Perhaps he could have used a little bit more help at linebacker, which brings in Micah Parsons. But I'm going for the low-hanging fruit right now. Cincinnati really can't afford Trey Hendrickson. I want that defensive end. They'll be one of the best. They'll have one of the best fronts in the league. Sure, you'll still be a little bit weak at linebacker, but Micah Parsons is a stretch to try to get him from Dallas. They're probably going to end up re-signing him, or it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. I think Trey Hendrickson is the guy you need to turn the attention to that defense, back to the defense. Now, I mean, with McDaniels running that offense, guy's going to be able to get open, eat quicker. He's going to know how to pick apart a defense. May is gaining confidence. He's having that year two leap. I can see it coming. They're going to be fine. You don't want to get crazy over there and overdo it. You want to.
All right, Paulie, thanks for the call. Paulie, at some point you have to put this stuff in a minded book.
Enough is enough.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to get it. I got a text right here that said, what about Micah Parsons? So someone else says, so let me do this. Let me go to break, and then when we turn, I'll address the Micah Parsons, my thoughts on that, and then Pro Football Sports Network's 100 best players in the NFL. There's some shockers in there. That's next. Hangouts, the KJ Show on WEEI. If you hear me play rap lyrics in a song, that means there's something tied to Chubb Rock and Hitman Howie T. Hitman Howie T passed away yesterday. My goodness. Ah, we're losing all of our hip-hop greats and the producers. It's KJ Show, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. Let me get into the conversation that was in the middle of, and then I'll get to Pro Football Sports Network's top 100, some of the feature, and I'm not going to do all 100, trust me, but you will be shocked who is not in the top five. Absolutely shocking. That's in 2 minutes. So what about Micah Parsons? You got this money. What about Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati? And I ask, what about Mike Vrabel? If you've got a defensive-minded coach, why would you need to go run out and get defensive superstars if the guy can't coach up a team that, let's just call it what it is, had a bad year last year but doesn't have a bad defensive roster? You don't have a bad defensive roster here with the Patriots. Look, if you take your eyes off the ball, which is the offensive line, the wide receiver, Vrabel's got the defense. So trying to move all these different pieces around for Micah Parsons, which is just really, if you don't know the story of how Micah Parsons got burned, he got bloomed, if you will. But story with Micah Parsons, how he got to where he is now is, so reportedly in the offseason, Micah Parsons is hanging out with the Jones family, right? He's talking with them and everything. And it seemed like to Micah Parsons just having a conversation. What the Jones say was, hey, they pretty much came to an agreement. The agent, they're not even talking to. The Cowboys won't even talk to now. Because Micah Parsons was like, well, no, that wasn't a deal. It's just like, hey, bro, don't ever discuss business during personal settings. If you hire an agent to do this stuff and the agent's not there, then what the Jones are thinking is just like, he's going to toss salary and not even know it. You big dummy. Yeah, you don't do that. And that's where Parsons is right now. They've got him. Parsons isn't going anywhere. And I would say this because this is the only way you know if it's for real or not. Will he start missing game checks? Micah Parsons is not available until he starts missing game checks. And once he does, then the price becomes really real. Hey, okay, just whatever draft pick, just get the headache off of us. So, no, don't go after Micah Parsons. No, don't go after Hendrickson because you'll just put yourself in the middle of a conversation that doesn't involve you. And then what does that say for the people out there who are doing the work? Like, I mean, there's someone who's playing Trey Hendrickson's position right now. Well, you want to hear all that? Like, you don't want to disrupt anything that's going on with your team right now and your defensive-minded coach, and you have your defensive people in place. You're there to get the job done. This is not like HR saying, hey, we need help, you know, on the floor with the machinery. It doesn't work that way. All right, we'll get to your text and calls here shortly, 617-779-7937. Remember, the KJ Show is a bonus chip bag today, so we're going till 10:35. So this isn't the last feature of the show. I'll take you up to Joe Wheel, who's got the pregame for the Red Sox, leading up to the 11:35 start time. So normally where I have my popcorn and watch the Red Sox, it'd be too early to have that popcorn. But now, pro football is here. And Pro Football Sports Network has presented its top 100. Coming in at 98, Dak Prescott. And you have to ask yourself, how good is that quarterback at this point if you barely cracked the top 100? Dallas is in trouble. Micah Parsons is in trouble. Jerry Jones and his son just sit there and laugh. At number 95, T. Higgins. He got all that money, and he's only number 95? Cincinnati, well, look, Joe Burrow got everything he wants. It's just that they have nothing else that they need, and that's going to be the issue. Kyler Murray in at 92. Brock Purdy at 88. The lone Patriot, Christian Gonzalez at 82. Justin Herbert, who many have an argument about, like, just how good is he? Is he elite? At 77 says, not quite there yet. Jahmyr Gibbs, who might be the offensive player of the year in the NFL, at 67. Just below him, he rushed for 2,000 yards almost until they sat him out of a game. Saquon Barkley. I think his numbers go down a little bit as his social media mentions go up. At 63, some say he could not hang with Sean McVay. But now Jared Goff at 63 doesn't have Ben Johnson anymore. And will he be Ben or Johnson this season? At number 46, one of the greatest growths we've ever seen in pro football, Baker Mayfield. They laughed at him one time in Cleveland, and in Carolina, he walked away. Now, determined to win the NFC South, Baker Mayfield is considered a better quarterback than Justin Herbert. At 33, the miraculous work of Jaden Daniels, can it continue into season number two? Will Terry McLaurin be by his side or be on the better side in New England? As number 30, Jalen Hurts, at the Eagles, can he do it with his arm more this year or less with the same results? And at a shocking number, number 21, is Joe Burrow? Like, I got to stop the music. Is that shocking to you? 21 is Joe Burrow? What the hell are these people thinking? Joe Burrow, one of the top four quarterbacks in the league, only at number 21. At number 8, his receiver, Jamar Chase. At number 6, a shocker, Patrick Mahomes does not make the top 5. Is that not shocking, Jay? Jacob?
Absolutely. I mean, he's literally, he's electric. What are they thinking?
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, who just seems to have a referee, AFC Invitational every year to the Super Bowl, does not finish in the top 5. And so you ask, who is in the top 5 at the Pro Football Sports Network Top 100? Number 5, Myles Garrett. His team may win only 4 games, but he will have 5 times as many sacks as they will wins, and that's sad. But he is a great one. At number 4, he's in Buffalo by himself, but Josh Allen is seeming to prove himself to be the kid who can't get off of the JV team when it comes to trying to win a championship. At number 3, Chris Jones, despite being offsides famously, he's still what makes the Chiefs go. He's ahead of Patrick Mahomes, okay. At number 2, Cameron Hayward. The Patriots will see him against Pittsburgh. Number 2. And at number 1, Lamar Jackson. Which makes a little bit of sense. Makes a bit of sense. I didn't go through all 100, right? Because there are commercial breaks, there are other shows that come on, and plus it's not entertaining. Isn't that shocking? And Baker Mayfield is at 46 and Justin Herbert's at 77. Baker Mayfield is having the last laugh for sure. But Patrick Mahomes, I could see being ahead of Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow at 21, like what are you looking at? Joe Burrow is definitely top 15, top 12 at least, not 21. But it goes to show you, right, because you didn't hear a bunch of quarterbacks' names in there, that defense matters. Cameron Hayward, 2. Chris Jones, 3. Myles Garrett, 5. 3 of your top 5 NFL-ranked players, according to PFSN, are on the defensive side of the ball. Now, 1, 4, 6 are all quarterbacks, which show you how important the quarterback is as well. But, yeah. Patrick Mahomes, outside of the top 5, which is crazy and scary, which means now the refs are just going to have to work even harder this season to make that sure. Make sure that doesn't stay the way it is. All right, KJ Show continues next. The Red Sox going for the sweep. Did Breslow get a bit of reprieve with the upcoming schedule and record? That's next here on the KJ Show on WEEI.